The year is 2030. The world has changed. The past decade has been marked by extraordinary progress, innovation and change. Politics, business, jobs and society are barely recognizable. In many ways, the world is a better place. In lots of others, it isn't. Retail and shopping has undergone a revolution. You may not foresee this in the year you are listening. In these audio recordings that we have delivered to the British Retail Consortium, we will report back from the year 2030 to help warn, inform and light the way to the future. Good luck on the journey you have ahead. See you soon.
Hi, yeah, my name's Howard Saunders and I'm a retail futurist.
Hi Howard. As I explained to you in your personalized morning briefing, our mission is to help them understand the revolutionary changes that have taken place. Explain how shopping works now.
Well, it's changed a lot. I suppose, you know, when you look back, it feels like it's changed quite dramatically, really. I mean, you've got many more independents now. I think that's the great news as far as I'm concerned. That really came fast on the heels of the rent and rate crash of 2025. I mean, that was kind of the big seismic moment for retail. And now you've got a lot more happening out there, a lot more independents, you know, the butchers and the bakers and the candle makers, literally. I suppose, it's hard to remember the department stores that we used to love. And because now they're mostly, or many of them are sort of incubators for young brands, which is quite exciting. There's many more markets out there. Every weekend there's a market somewhere. A lot more events. And then there's what the big brands are up to, which is quite exciting. You've got, you know, the Nike doing those big fitness gyms and leisure centers. And I suppose, you know, Zara have got that whole bespoke range thing happening. And H&M with their new designer launch pads, which seem to be really successful. And there's, you know, a few of them in our cities now. Google have got these health centers, which fantastic. And the whole Dr. Google thing on your phone, the e-health thing, which has taken off. So now these centers are magnificent, actually. And then you've got what I like to call the workshops, really, which is all those little independents mainly, and the big guys are up to it as well, but those little independents doing workshops in the evening, you know, learning how to bake bread and make pastries and joinery and butchery and all of that stuff. So there's almost, it's not just about selling stuff anymore. I think that was the key. It's like little brands doing interesting things and keeping us engaged in the evenings too. You know, it's pretty straightforward stuff. I mean, the other big thing I suppose we forget has happened is the rise of Alibaba and the big cinemas and the venues, right? Certainly across London and in some of our major urban centres. And in terms of retail, pure retail, I suppose one of the biggest shifts has been the rise and rise of voice. And now Jeannie's taken over and she seems just fairer, a bit nicer. And she does all that replenishment thing. So she takes all that mundanity. Is that the right word? she takes all that, the hard work out of shopping. So, lots has changed. I think lots for the better, actually.
Back in history, they believe high streets are dying. My data tells me that the human need for connection is primal, as fundamental as the need for air, water and food. Things are different now. Explain.
Yeah, I'd say they are more vibrant. If you go back, we used to worry about, you know, the death of the high street and the death of those big corporate brands, which the papers were full of. But of course, now we realize that, you know, what's happened is that was the demise of the clone town, actually. And you've got now, as I say, these independents, literally a torrent of independents coming in. And I think that's quite surprising how quickly they moved, how quickly things regenerated. Certainly since, as I say, the rent and rate crash. So there's much more of that. And there's this, you know, the whole FOMO things, markets and festivals. And I suppose the other thing that's helped this along, the other catalyst for all this change is the pedestrianisation of our, of a few of our cities. They're still working on it and there's still lots to do, but that means that we've got, you know, local bands can come out and do performances and buskers and all of that, all that basic stuff that we sort of lost along the way. So I think that's good news, and it feels more vibrant. We've also got the rise of the what we call colloquially the Apple towns and the Huawei towns. You know, so Apple, as you remember, sort of slowly crept out of its store into the centre of town, and now they manage those towns, and Huawei are doing the same. And it's quite interesting. You've got better security, better entertainment, nighttime entertainment. You know, obviously they've got their own cleaners, and it's all branded, and it feels quite, you know, strong. It feels very good. And you've got the interesting thing happening whereby, you know, that you can see the difference in the brands, and Huawei towns are a little bit more entertaining, a bit looser at the edges, and Apples are quite serious and very slick. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing that's happened in the last 10 years or so.
How, Howard?
I think local authorities slowly sort of relinquished responsibility for the sort of epicentres. These are not our whole town centres, as you know, but the town epicentres, and that's sort of, and that's grown over the years, and now it sort of certainly feels a lot safer in town.
Every once in a while, a new technology, an old problem, and a big idea turn into an innovation. Like me and the role that I play in your life. Provide some analysis.
I suppose that lots of big things have been tried, and I think the truth is, it's the slow creep of AI, which has really changed everything. And there's almost nothing we can do now whereby, you know, without AI having some influence on us. I mean, yes, the rise of robots, you know, has been fantastic, but it's mostly taken away the sort of the mundane jobs and the back office jobs. The big thing for me, I would say, the rise of FRS, or, you know, facial recognition software, has been the death of anonymity. You know, now you, everywhere you go, you're known. And that's a good thing. It's got a downside, but that's a pretty good thing. So everywhere you go, they know who you are, and they know your preferences, and they know your history with the brand. And I think on the whole, that's a good thing. And I think the other thing that's tied into that whole AI revolution is, of course, like I've already mentioned, the e-health thing with Dr. Google and the health advice we now get. And then he then tells us what to eat and where to go. And I'm sure he's taking a cut from the restaurant when I pick the menu that he's recommended. But do you know what? It's fine. It feels quite good for me, and it helps me in my, with my, the way I live my life.
I am never surprised. I learn and adjust. They have some surprises ahead that they must navigate, though.
I think the biggest surprise probably is, as I said, that just the speed of recovery of the way in which independents have just stormed into the town centre. And I think that's great news. And I'm not just talking about, you know, our major urban centres, our little neglected centres. As soon as that rent and rate crash happened, I mean, they literally overnight they came. And I think that's a fantastic thing. You know, it means that your children, your, or my grandchildren, can actually bring something to market now. And I think previously that was closed, and we just thought our town centres were sort of owned by big corporate institutions. So I think the speed of recovery has been, yeah, it's been fantastic, actually. The other thing I thought was a surprise, which is a quirky one, was the way in which McDonald's pioneered the whole vegan burger and the whole McV thing. And to think now that more than 50% of McDonald's restaurants are vegan burgers and selling, they're doing the whole McV thing. I think that's fantastic as well. We never could have predicted that.
My social media data indicates a recurring sentiment of loss expressed by many. Lots of people believe that society isn't what it used to be and reminisce about times gone by in relation to human interaction, shopping, products and high streets.
Like I say, I think our town centre spaces are more engaging. There's the death of the clone town has largely been a good thing. I think the good news story is we've got a sort of loosening up. We've got Adidas and H&M doing sort of joint spaces together with that thing they've just opened down the road here, you know, that lifestyle centre. And you've got, which was in the old M&S. And the AR showrooms, they're fantastic. You know, the other night I was in a kitchen showroom. We were doing up our little place. And, you know, you pick up your tablet and you hold it up across the kitchen displays, and there all your preferences are overlaid. And that's, you know, I didn't particularly like this kitchen, and we held it up, and then suddenly there it is in the dark grey with the, it knows my preferences and I can adjust them, obviously. And then that is communicated directly back to the retailer, who can build something specifically for me. And I think that feels slightly sort of science fiction. I mean, back in the day, I don't think we'd have predicted that was going to happen quite so. I don't think we'd have thought it would be so useful. On a more obvious note, you know, things have just got better quality. I mean, think about sort of the leather goods and the baked goods and the quality of the shirts you wear. Instead of it all being that stuff coming on that cargo container, it's actually, you know, we've got little guys making things and guys and girls making and baking things again. And I think on the whole, we've got better quality products in our lives.
Howard, based on data from our interactions, you are predisposed to an optimistic point of view. But in our past conversations, you have spoken of some negative developments. Please transmit this in this audio.
The truth is, I kind of miss the department stores, and I kind of reminisce about them occasionally. And I know we didn't use them, and they kind of lost their way, but I miss them. I also miss the banks. I mean, I miss the you know, the whole thing of going into these big marble halls and waiting in line to see someone, and that's kind of sad. On a more sort of serious note, that, you know, I think the rise of surveillance is a bad thing. I mean, I know it might lubricate my life, but the fact that every time I go out, there's this sort of, you know, blue hovering light in the night sky, you know, it's always there. And I think that feels a bit odd, and it's a bit Orwellian. And of course, you know, every yin has its yang, doesn't it? And the FRS thing, the facial recognition thing, has stopped underage drinking, because you simply can't go into a bar or restaurant now without them clocking who you are. That's clear. That's easy. That's a good thing. The downside of that is that we've got the rise and rise of these sort of teen drinking dens. And you know, there's every action has a reaction. And there are consequences for these things. So I think that's downside.
I am programmed to support human bonds, connections and interaction. Yet many see machines like myself as an infringement of privacy and human society, and I am not welcome in their homes.
I think they feel, you know, it's one of these things, it's a paradox. They feel much more connected. We now know, with the death of anonymity, it means that we're known everywhere. When you go to the doctors, they know who you are instead of having to log in. These are important things. I think that's incredibly empowering, actually, and very democratic. The downside is that we know we're being watched the whole time. And I think, you know, that's the paradox, I think, crudely.
In the time they are listening, what adjustments should retailers make?
I think in simple terms, I'd say that they should have understood earlier on that we don't need any more stuff. And we've got enough stuff. You know, your wardrobes are full, your cupboards are full, your kitchen cabinets are full, your bathroom cabinets are full. And yet they still pursued this idea of sort of access to everything on display, as if we need stuff, instead of actually dragging us in and seducing us and educating us and entertaining us and telling us stories. They misunderstood. I think we're sort of trapped in this post-war supermarket model where everything was laid out and very linear and easy to access, and we didn't actually need any of it. So I think that would be my plea if I could reach back to the past. And I think in terms of, you know, what they should be doing about that, you know, what can they actually do? I'd say simply invest in hospitality, you know, because we now know everything's documenting, monitoring us at every level, that what we really connect with is other humans, actually. And we're seeing that, and all those clever brands out there are investing in top level staff instead of it just being guys and girls that just work the tills. Now they're out front and they're genuinely make you feel welcome. And that's what I would have done, and that's what I'd tell them to do if only they could, you know, hear me from from 10 years or so ago. You know, invest in staff and hospitality, because that's the key to human connection. And ultimately, we don't need any more staff.
Howard, in general, you more often tell me that things are better now.
I do. I'm an optimist, and I think it's getting better, and we're becoming more interesting. Our towns are more interesting places and spaces to hang out in. I mean, more than anything, it isn't just a place where you go, pick stuff up and leave. Now towns are places we go back. You know, there's the performances in the square and all of that stuff that we did have, we lost, and now we're getting back. So I think on the whole, yes, they're better now than they ever were, actually. There's been a blurring of the boundaries between retail and hospitality and entertainment. And we've known this a long while, but that's, so it's a loosening up of this sort of doctrine that we've got to sell stuff. And I think that's a good thing. Retailers are becoming more intelligent. They understand that the power of their brand is kind of everything. And so you've got, you know, the much clearer market for the, what we used to call the supermarkets, you know, the value supermarkets at one end, the big boxes out of town, and that's still great for some people.
Yesterday is but today's memory and tomorrow is today's dream. Howard, your schedule indicates your time conversing with history is nearly over. Transmit your final message, please.
My final message? I would say it's slightly sort of philosophical. Yeah, I'd say in a slightly philosophical manner, really, that the future may be rushing towards us at a great rate of knots and is getting increasingly faster. However, we'll still be human when it arrives. And I think that's, we often forget that. It can be very seductive. Technology can be very seductive. And we think it's going to change everything. And actually, deep down, we're exactly the same. We want the same things. So ultimately, the digital age that we're living in has taught us what we really want is the currency of humanity, actually. And I think we sort of lost track of that many years ago.
Good. Thank you, Howard. According to your schedule, you are due in the town centre in 34 minutes. I will transmit more files about our 2030 world to the British Retail Consortium soon. Power shutting down and updates being installed.